Thanks for listening to the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time, that's 12 to 3 Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio.
I only thought 5-0 games happened in soccer matches coached by John Ramos. But no, apparently they happened.
Oh, come on, Dan.
In the
on.
NFL. And usually John is on one side of the scoreboard with that. However, that's what we had last night in the NFL preseason, kicking off Eagles and Browns. What a dandy it was. 5-0, the Browns walk away with a victory.
You know, sometimes you walk around and you just start to get this feeling. You know, some people will talk about they just get a bad feeling when something's about to happen, or just like at certain points you'll smell something. It'll take you back to that time in your childhood where you smelled it again and you go, God, that brings back such memories. Like when you go back home to Wisconsin, you probably smell like a drive-through or a golf course, and you just remember where you were when that happened.
And I'll be headed there tonight, by the way, so I can't wait till tomorrow. Yes.
Well, at least you're not headed to Hawaii. Good luck getting there. I was watching that game last night, and I smelled something, Dan.
Oh, what?
And it brought up these
an
memories.
Aroma?
Yeah, I was smelling it, and I'm like, gosh, 5-0. You know what that smells like, Dan? Smells like Thursday night football every other year. That's what it smells like, Dan. It's back.
Oh, it got a taste of it last night. That is for sure. It whets your appetite. That's what it did. Oh, man.
Let's be honest here. New network or no new network, and great job by Joe Buck and Troy Aikman for calling that vomit bomb that they got last night. But good Christ, was that a bad football game.
It's still amazing, though, Jonas, for how awful that the game ended up being, that I found myself late in the third quarter saying, I'm still watching a 5-0 preseason NFL game.
Even with Jersey Shore back?
Yeah, it's DVR'd. We got about 20 minutes in. I don't know. Ronnie right now seems like a good dad.
It's good, man. So, the ending's getting really good, really juicy. Yeah.
But he's only 20 minutes into me seeing him be a father. Then we had to move on to other things. But, 5-0, it's the end of the third quarter, and I'm sitting there watching it, and it's because of Baker Mayfield. It's because of probably a little bit of Hard Knocks. You're seeing guys that you're familiar in seeing on the TV show. And the Browns have been the story this preseason. But in last night's game, the biggest story wasn't Baker Mayfield or Kajust or Hugh Jackson. It was actually Tyrod Taylor.
This did not look good for Tyrod Taylor. Keep an eye on his left wrist when he goes down. He knew right away that he was in pain and somehow able to just get up and get over to the sideline. I don't know how you can watch Hard Knocks and not love this guy.
Yeah, you knew something was wrong when his wrist was backwards for a second, because that was an ankle sprain twist on his wrist last night. And, of course, Jonas, when you see Tyrod Taylor, by the way, Fox and Joe Buck with that call there, when you see Tyrod Taylor walking off with the trainers, I thought to myself, A, this could be the start of the Baker Mayfield era, and B, what are these next 2 weeks going to be like for the Cleveland Browns to try to get Tyrod Taylor ready for week one? Little did I know that 10 minutes later, Tyrod Taylor would be back on the field playing for the Cleveland Browns after his wrist was backwards for about a second last night.
Yeah, for a moment there, I thought he turned into Jaime Lannister off Game of Thrones and lost his arm. Jeez, you know what I mean? Like, what's happening
spoiler
here?
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, sorry about that. For those of you that haven't seen Game of Thrones, he can't give you a double high five anymore. I'll just go ahead and put it that way. It looked bad, but I get the idea of why he wanted to come back in. But the other part of that, because it's a two-man thing, all right? So Tyrod Taylor wants to come back in, and then his coach has got to want him to come back in. I understand why Tyrod Taylor wanted back in. I get it. This is his shot. He doesn't want to give up any playing time. He wants to be out on the field. The Hugh Jackson conversation is a more interesting one, because there's other things at play when it comes to Hugh Jackson.
Yeah, and Tyrod Taylor is in Cleveland as their veteran starter, but in my mind, and I think in yours as well, is that Tyrod Taylor is there to help Hugh Jackson save his job. And the only way that Hugh Jackson saves his job this year is to not just win a couple of games, it's win a bunch of games and have a successful season. And that may, Jonas, mean that Baker Mayfield doesn't play this season. If Tyrod Taylor continues to win and the Browns are a winning team or a team that is hovering around 500, you could really show progress. But Hugh Jackson doesn't save his job if an underprepared, and I'm not saying not prepared, but an underprepared or a not ready Baker Mayfield takes over and they only win 5 games this year. That is not going to save Hugh Jackson his job. Tyrod Taylor is there to be the security blanket for Hugh Jackson, and I think that's why he was in the game last night, because Hugh Jackson wasn't ready to risk his job on the first overall pick being a rookie and starting in week one for the Cleveland Browns. It was all about optics. It was all about getting him back in there. And if Baker Mayfield has tons of success last night in place of the injured quarterback, guess what? You got to go with Baker Mayfield week one. This was a job-saving move by Hugh Jackson to put Tyrod Taylor back in a meaningless preseason game where now we find out he's got a dislocated pinky.
Yeah, Hugh Jackson's got his own interests in at play here, and I understand it, because if Hugh Jackson flames out here in Cleveland, and I'd be willing to bet that he does, he's never going to get another head coaching job. It's just the reality of the way the business is. Rex Ryan had a lot of success in New York early on, but he flamed out there, and then he went to Buffalo, and that was a disaster. Rex Ryan will never be a head coach in the NFL again. You get two opportunities, and if you get those two opportunities and you don't fail, it's over for you. That's it. So Hugh Jackson wants to hold on to this for as long as possible. But it just goes back to, look at the totality of what it is here. All right. Now, unless there's been one organization that has stood by a head coach who's been a bad head coach and had a bad record, and that organization with Jacksonville, because they stuck by Gus Bradley over and over and over again, and he continued to churn out awful seasons, but they still stuck by him until finally they said, listen, we have developed these guys as long as we can. We need to move in a different direction. I don't get the feeling that Cleveland is that same organization, all right? And I don't know if it's because of all the other head coaches and quarterbacks that they've had over the past decade that they've burned and just gotten rid of because they felt like they had underperformed. So I feel like Hugh Jackson is sort of swimming upstream against the future of the organization. Mm-hmm. The future of the organization is John Dorsey and Baker Mayfield. Well, Hugh Jackson and Tyrod Taylor are the ones going upstream. They're trying to fight back against their success so that they can keep their jobs. And I just think it's an awkward situation to be in.
This was Hugh Jackson last night after that 5-0 victory against the Eagles, not talking about the win, but talking about why Tyrod Taylor was put back in the game.
I was very concerned. It's a hand, because I wasn't sure anytime your starting quarterback goes into the locker room, you're not sure. But he came back, obviously went back in the game. So we'll continue to look at it and see where we are as we head into next week. I was aware of it. But, I mean, obviously our medical people said he was fine. And he could be out there, and we wouldn't have put him back out there if he wasn't. So, again, we'll check everything tonight and see where he is. But I think hopefully everything will be okay.
Jared Goff is fine for the Los Angeles Rams. He's not going to play a snap in the preseason. Yeah. There are quarterbacks who are fine. We don't know how much Aaron Rodgers is going to even play the rest of the season the preseason for the Green Bay Packers. He's coming back off of an injury that cost him a good part of last season. Those quarterbacks are fine. Tom Brady's fine. Tyrod Taylor was fine. There was no reason to put him back in the game last night. The play that he got injured on, Jonas, I understand. I almost think every fourth down, just go for it. If you want another snap that you want, there's no point in kicking a field goal fourth down at the 1 yard line. I totally get going for it. But you have to tell your quarterback as well, like, this is the route we're looking at, and this is the read we're looking at. And there's no reason to extend a play like he did on the play that he got injured on. In fact, once he rolled out of the pocket, it was a free-for-all. So there's nothing that you can learn from it. So then to say Tyrod Taylor is okay and we're going to put him back in the game where Tyrod Taylor could do the same exact thing, it makes zero sense whatsoever. I don't care if he was okay. Quarterbacks are okay right now when they're not playing. I didn't get it.
Yeah, it was a little bit curious. Unless maybe they didn't feel like... Hugh Jackson and Tyrod Taylor are kind of in the same spot, because both these guys want to play because they're looking at their futures. And I think Tyrod Taylor knows my future isn't here in Cleveland. One thing Cleveland's not going to do is what they did about 10 years ago, where they drafted a rookie quarterback in Brady Quinn, but Derek Anderson had this anomaly season, and so Cleveland just overthought the whole situation and said, "Hey, you know what? Here's 3 years, $27 million. We'll keep Derek Anderson." And I've talked to Brady about this, and Brady's looking around going, well, why am I here? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think Cleveland's going to go down that road again because this is Tyrod Taylor's only shot in Cleveland, which goes back to something that we've talked about. If he's not so much significantly better than Baker Mayfield, what are you waiting for? Like, if there was an opportunity to deal Tyrod Taylor for a second or a third round pick to a Miami or somebody like that who doesn't think they can get Teddy Bridgewater out of New York, if you're Cleveland, what are you waiting for? Because the only reason you're playing Tyrod Taylor, there's two reasons. Either Tyrod Taylor demanded to go back in because he wanted to show leadership in that situation and show his team that he would fight through the injuries, or you want to get more Tyrod Taylor film on tape because you want him to look good so that if you deal him, you can get more for him. Other than that, I don't get it.
Yeah, and even that doesn't make sense for the simple fact of now he's got a dislocated pinky and a bruised hand, and why you want to put him out there somewhat limited. None of it makes sense. And to your point of Tyrod having to be significantly better than Baker Mayfield, I think he is right now heading into the regular season. Whether he's going to be that in week 8 or week 15 as Baker Mayfield gets more involved, I don't know. I'm not sure what the case is. But I just know that Cleveland wasn't ready to start the Baker Mayfield era last night, and it showed by putting Tyrod Taylor at risk again after leaving the game. If you're the Cleveland Browns, you escaped. You got lucky because he wasn't seriously injured. And now you end up saying, hey, watch these die. And then you rolled them to see if he would stay healthy. There isn't a good explanation. Even, as I said, Jared Goff is perfectly healthy, and he's not going to play a snap in the NFL preseason. He's fine. That's what they should have done with Tyrod Taylor, who, in my mind, is there to save Hugh Jackson's job.
You know, Dan, maybe we should have done a lazy segment or a lazy take on Twitter last night and go, Browns being Browns, man. Same old Browns.
Same old thing. Same old story. God. Miles Garrett. Wow.
That guy's a monster.
Yes.
Yeah, he's good.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at noon Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
There's been a lot of interesting things happening. I also, this is how far removed we are, and this is how fast the game has changed. Remember a few years ago when E.J. Manuel was the only quarterback taken in the first round of the draft? That's never going to happen again. You're never going to have one quarterback taken in the first round of the draft unless you're drafting from an 8-man football team. It's changed, and I know it, when we talk about preseason and what's the point, and the stadiums are half empty, and they're charging full price, and nobody cares about these games. I feel like if you give the NFL and you give the NFL fans football on television, even in August, I don't see it going away anywhere. It's like why the NBA playoffs are always going to stay 7 games, because you can make money. The NFL's still making money on the preseason, regardless of how bad the play is. And when the storylines are interesting, to your point, it's still going to be a moneymaker, and it's going to do great ratings.
I think when you see just some of the names, I don't know, week 4, what we're going to get coming up on Thursday, which will be the final night when a lot of the stars are sitting. I don't know if you can even pull ratings, probably local ratings, if you will, because I'm not sure there's a national TV broadcast next week. But I just know that the conversation of people watching games has gone up. Now, when you're watching games, you're not seeing stars, specifically with the Los Angeles Rams. For example, they aren't playing Jared Goff this preseason. Todd Gurley not playing the preseason, something that is music to the ears of one Todd Gurley. I get it with the running backs. I really do. Like, the less amount of hits, I mean, now we're even tracking carries in college to see how much tread a guy actually has on his tire, how much has been worn out throughout his college career. We're looking at how many times he touched the ball in college before he ever enters the NFL in hopes that he'll have a long NFL career. I get it with the running backs. Quarterbacks, a little interesting to me, not in the case of Aaron Rodgers, Jonas, or a Tom Brady, who is going to play tonight against Carolina after playing last week and making his debut against the Eagles. But it's the younger guys that I still think that need to have some of the rust taken off, if you will, or to be able to get familiar with their surroundings. I'm surprised you're seeing a lot of the younger quarterbacks just maybe not get snaps like a Jared Goff.
Yeah, and especially, this is going to sound, you know, like I'm not concerned about injuries or whatnot, but back in the day when you would have to pay rookie quarterbacks the $50 million signing bonus, to me, that would be when you justify not wanting to risk getting your big-time investment injured. But if they're not as expensive now, it's not as much of a financial hit should something happen, because regardless, you're still going to take your lumps in the regular season. I feel like almost like maybe coaches are overthinking this thing. And I know we're going to have Doug Peterson on, and Doug Peterson, they even talked about, you know, with Nick Foles dealing with the shoulder injury, was there any thought about, you know, not putting him in there because he banged up his shoulder a little bit? And Doug Peterson said, no, he's got to play better. Like, we've got to get a rhythm going. Unless you feel totally confident that that quarterback is such a pro at your system, like a Brady or a Rodgers or a Drew Brees, then yeah, you got to play, man. Like, I don't know how you get better or knock the rust off without playing.
Jared Goff has had one good season and one bad season in the NFL in his two that are there. We asked Jeff Schwartz, former NFL lineman, on Jared Goff taking off the preseason as he enters his third year and whether that's a good idea for the Rams signal caller.
Fascinated by the Rams situation. They're one of the teams that I've kind of sold a little bit this year, and I don't think they're going to be awful, but, you know, as far as win totals this year, I have them and Jacksonville, too, you know, two teams that people kind of like is under win totals. You know, the Rams seem a little bit full of themselves, a little bit.
It's too good to be true, right?
Yeah, like, you have to play a little bit in the preseason, third season.
Yeah, and that's you have to play a little bit, at least a couple of snaps. And for the Rams to be so worried that Jared Goff is going to be hurt in one series or two series, even the optics, heck, even for the fans that actually show up to pay the $4 or whatever it could cost, $2 to go to the Rams-Texans game coming up on Saturday, at least to see Jared Goff maybe take a snap, I think would be worthwhile.
Yeah, it's but maybe Sean McVay. Look, Sean McVay's done a lot of things that have really, really worked within that organization. The Rams as a whole, to Jeff's point, when he says they're fascinating, because it doesn't normally work when you have a team and you have a ton of success, and then you go out and you continue to add controversial players all around to try and load up and go chase championships. It usually never works out. It never works out. We saw it with the Eagles after the NFL strike or the lockout, whatever it was back in 2011, went out and loaded up and got Nnamdi Asomugha and all these guys, and they were an 8-8 football team. This never works out. So to me, I would want to get as many reps for these guys. I understand the Todd Gurley, the wear and tear. I mean, what do you have, like almost 800 receiving yards last year? Like, he is the center point and the focal point of that offense. But Sean McVay must really have a ton of confidence in Jared Goff that he's going to step back in and just continue on from what he had last year. But this is going into year three, and we've got two examples of Jared Goff's career. Last year, which was really good, and the first year he was awful. So it's not like he's a shoe-in to have a great year again.
You just gave Brandon Cooks a long contract extension worth a lot of money.
How about some reps?
And yeah, and he's going to enter the first regular season game never having been thrown a ball by his starting quarterback in a game. So think about that, of trying to maybe I'll make that note for fantasy this Sunday on our special fantasy show.
Can they hear that, Dan?
9 o'clock Eastern time Sunday morning, our 2018 fantasy football preview, Mike Harmon and myself. But when you think about it, when Brandon Cooks and Jared Goff line up on the same field in Oakland on Monday night of week one, it is going to be the first time that they are lining up on the field together on the same team.
Now, are you saying here, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I am, are you saying here, Dan, that you like the Raiders in that game on Monday night?
No,
is that what you're saying?
I'm saying this, is I really like Cooper Kupp as a fantasy sleeper. I mean, he was Goff's favorite target last year. In Todd Gurley, I think, led the team in receptions, but Kupp was second. Robert Woods, obviously back healthy as well, but I really like Cooper Kupp. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. Go to the guy that Jared Goff is familiar with.
There it is.
Yeah, so there's your fantasy insight.
How about that, John? What do you think about that?
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at noon Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
And it is a new part of the show coming up here on Fox Sports Radio as we unveil, right after John yawns.
Sorry, John.
Yeah, maybe sorry it's nerves. That, when I'm nervous, I yawn as well, so I can get that. John will be playing the game Seat or Street. We use our Deal or No Deal music for this. John Ramos will have to decipher what is worth more, the seat at a particular game or something that you can get on the street.
Yeah.
All right? Simple enough, right?
Yeah.
All right, John, are you ready to play?
Yes, guys, I'm always ready to play. Thank you for having me again.
It's seat or street, so all you have to do is take the seat at the game or what you're going to find on the street.
Now, Dan, is he allowed to go to Steve DeSager for one of these?
Sure. Okay. Sure, a lifeline, Steve, yeah. Please, as we do during the
Steve,
millionaire
please.
Game.
He's always somebody I can count on, everybody.
Yeah. All right, sure. We've got eight scenarios for you, John.
Okay.
Only in games I understand, though.
Oh,
seats or street. Jonas, do you want to start or should I get it going?
I can start, Dan. That's
okay.
Fine. All right, John, you ready for this? John, tell me this. What is more expensive between the two? A ticket to this weekend's Texans-Rams preseason game or a bottle of Visine?
What's more expensive?
Yes.
I would say the Rams-Texans game.
That is incorrect, John.
What?
Yeah, that is incorrect.
You say seat or street, John. Seat or street. Yes,
right.
Would you like the seats or the Visine on the street?
Okay.
Yeah, John.
I would say street,
and
Jonas.
You know, we actually referenced the cost of the Texans-Rams game earlier in the show, so it is a bonus prize here. John wasn't listening.
What is the ticket? $2?
$2,
right?
$2 to get in to that outhouse in downtown.
Jeez.
Maybe John doesn't want to blow all of his money at the Rams game because he wants to take in the Dodgers game tonight.
Dodgers?
Yes.
As they host the San Diego Padres. John, would you like to pick seat or street as what is, I don't know, worth more? So it's the cheapest ticket or the... or street than the combo at Popeyes, the number 7 combo
at
Popeyes.
He finally found this part of the song.
This is, so seat or street?
Yes.
Would you like the seat at the Dodgers game or the number 7 combo at Popeyes, which, by the way, is a 5-piece tender, mild or spicy,
okay.
One side, one drink, and biscuit.
Oh, and biscuit, John.
Yes. And this, by the way, is the Popeyes 2 miles up on Sepulveda.
Santa Coy
in Sepulveda, where they know me.
You know what they say, Dan, when you're driving into work? Biscuit or click it.
Yeah. Biscuit or click it.
Here, I'll show
Why
Steve.
Biscuit? Why biscuit?
Well, so, after too many biscuits, you can't click it,
seats
actually.
Or street, what is more expensive?
Well,
the
earlier,
cheapest ticket at the Dodger game tonight against the Padres, yes. Or the number 7 combo at Popeyes?
Well, earlier in the show, Steve mentioned the Padres not having a great season. So I'm going to say that it's the street, that the cost more to get the number 7 at the Popeyes down the street.
That is correct.
Yes. Yeah.
Hey. $10.19 yes. Plus tax. We don't include the tax, but the $9 game ticket is what you can get on the secondary market right now. So the combo would actually cost you more before taxes and fees.
Interestingly, guys, the number 7, also the number of men left on base by Jock Peterson. Went.
Oh, yeah, come on, Steve.
Steve.
Oh,
come on.
God, everything has to be raced with you, Steve. John, are you ready?
Yes.
Seat or street? You are 1-1 so far. Here we go, John. Which is more expensive? A ticket to the 49ers-Colts preseason game or a Big Mac? John, seat or street?
Oof. Well, I hope the 49ers would pay me to go see them, but I would say it would be the street.
That is incorrect, John.
Oh, yes.
And this
Niners.
This is a close call. We're not including taxes here because a Big Mac is $3.99. A ticket to get into 49ers Colts, $4.
Okay.
Oh.
So by a penny, John Ramos, you lose.
Well, but it's $4 plus fees, so you really lose.
Yeah, that's true. Way to go, John.
Tonight in Major League Baseball, the Mets are home to the Washington Nationals.
Ugh.
Would a game ticket to that game cost more than a subway ticket from the World Trade Center to Times Square? So
I'm
that's
gonna say,
downtown to midtown.
Yeah. I'm going to say seat, Dan.
That is correct.
Yeah.
$4 to see the Nats and Mets. $2.75 for the subway ride.
He's staying alive.
Washington's still in it, guys.
All right, Johnny, you ready for this?
Yeah.
All right. Cedar Street. Which is more expensive? A ticket to the Bengals-Bills preseason game or an 18-pack of Bud Light?
You know, I don't drink, so I'm going to use Steve DeSager on this one.
Who also doesn't.
Great. That's good, John.
All right.
Why don't you check your lifeline? Go to Tim Tebow while you're at it, John. Good God. Steve is one of the guys in the building who doesn't have a drinking problem, and John goes to him.
I would still go with Steve.
Well, people are excited for Buffalo, right? So it's... What, $40, $50 regular season, $20, $25 preseason?
So what is your answer, John?
I would say the street.
So even though he just broke it down for you, you're still going to take the street.
Apparently I'm
sticking
not
with his gut
at all.
John, Cedar Street.
Street.
You're still going with street.
Oh, I'm sorry. I had to say seat.
He's trying.
Seat. Seat, Jonas.
You're going with seat.
Yes.
That is incorrect. It is street. Wow. The 18-pack of Bud Light is more expensive than the $16 to get into Bengals Bills.
Wow, okay.
By the way, yeah, can I get this music? Tell me, does this... wait a sec. Hold on. I want to wait to the my favorite part of this song because it goes through. But just...
Is this the Incredibles theme?
It's so bad.
You know what this is? At the end of one quarter of play here on the Mountain West Network,
oh, yeah.
Colorado State 17, Hawaii 0. Back with second quarter action. It sounds like a college football network song.
Jonas, familiar with that score.
Steve, don't be so mean.
I had a great time playing the game, guys.
You're still playing. Oh. I've got one more.
Sorry. Yeah.
A's at Twins tonight in the beautiful city of Minneapolis.
Yes.
Cedar Street, what is worth more? A ticket to this game or the blueberry rhubarb cobbler at the Minnesota State Fair that's going on right now?
Oh, man. The State Fair is one of the biggest things, I think. I'm going to say the cobbler. I'm going to say street.
John's 3 for 3 with me. The cobbler's $8. You can see A's Twins for $7.
Dan, we need a tiebreaker quickly. Should we do one?
Sure, a seventh game.
Yep. A seventh game here on Cedar Street with John Ramos starring Steve DeSager.
Oh.
Here we go. Cedar Street. John, more expensive. A ticket to the Ravens-Dolphins preseason game this weekend, or a one-month subscription to Mike Francesa's new app. Cedar Street.
What's more expensive, right?
Correct. No, we just changed the rules.
You should ask
midway
for
through
help
the game,
on this one.
We decided to make it even more confusing.
Like the seventh game of the NBA Finals, they play bocce ball.
No, what's the most expensive?
I would say that it would be the street. Yeah, the street.
Mike Francesa's app you think is more expensive for 1 month than a ticket to an NFL preseason game? Is that your final answer?
Yes.
You were correct, John.
Yes.
Yes.
That is right.
There you go. Yeah, $8.99 to $7.
Very nice.
Yeah.
A lot of people were complaining about that when that price came out yesterday.
You can also see us on the street after this segment was totally confusing.
Sorry about that.
It's all right. Thanks,
it'll be
John.
Better next time with graphics.
Oh, man.
You'll see us with seats saying, I need tickets.
Yeah, by the way, if we ever go simulcast, we are screwed.
Yes.
It is. Oof.
Catch them twice a month.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live. Now. Does it get any better than this? I think not. It's the John Ramos Show.
Ramos?
It's the John Ramos Show.
John
Ramos Show.
This is the John Ramos Sports on Fox Radio.
Huh?
Here's John Ramos.
He says exactly what Suzanne tells him to say.
Ramos?
Shut up, John.
Ramos?
Yes!
Yes! Take it
Friday.
Off, man.
All right.
Friday.
Take it off, man.
All right, let's do this, right? Good evening, everybody. We have a great show for you tonight. It's Fat Finger Friday. You ever had a hard time sending a text because your fingers are too fat? You push too many buttons at once. Lord knows I do. Sorry, Suzanne.
Every day.
Tyrod Taylor dislocated his pinky last night, so I'll bet he has a fat finger today.
Oh.
Remember, if you want to get on the show, just use those little pork sausages on your hand and tweet us using the hashtag the John Ramos Show. By the way, today is National Parking Garage Day. My favorite parking garage is the one in the LA Mall. They have the best speed bumps. Jonas, what's your favorite parking garage?
Ooh, that's a tough one.
Sidekick Ryan is out today, so I have my friend Robert here with me. Robert, let's get started with a little basketball.
Let's do it, John.
Look, I thought this was interesting. Did you see Kyrie Irving was honored at a Native American naming ceremony?
Really? No, I didn't see that.
Yeah, his new Lakota name is, get this, Little Mountain.
That's cool.
Yeah, but I think that they should have went with Disabled List.
Is he in baseball? Does he play baseball?
Do you really need to watch the football game to talk about it on radio? Find out next on the John Ramos Show.
It's I hope Spider-Man not. And the Incredible Hulk.
By the way, let's do a quick recap here, that opening collection. Segment for John. He fat-shamed people's hands, and he offended Native Americans.
Well done, John. We are on a roll here.
I want to know what speed bumps are.
Hey, before we get to our artist of the night, I want to wish happy birthday to King Alexander II of Scotland. He would have been 769 years old today.
All right, yes.
There you go. Hey, in honor of Fat Finger Friday, it's Meatloaf.
By the way, you know he's a distant relative, the King of Scotland?
Who's that?
That John just named, his birthday.
Oh, really?
Distant relative.
Really?
King Alexander II.
Yeah, not at all.
Hey, don't forget, Big Meat will join me here up on stage later on for an in-depth interview where I plan on asking him, what's the thing that you won't do for love? Also, we have a John Ramos Show exclusive, something you won't hear on any other show in the country, radio, TV, see on any blog. Doug Peterson, head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles, will stop by to talk about an exclusive, so stay tuned for that. Right now, sports fans, it's time for You Got It.
Yes!
Oh, man!
Of the... A ver quién viene al cobro. Así, Barrera para el remate, gol. ¡Gol!
Papi.
Week. Here's the plays of the week.
Here it is.
That was your play of the week on the John Ramos Show.
Yes!
Oh.
How dumb do you have to be to book a vacation in the middle of a hurricane? Find out next on the John Ramos Show.
Oh, that's
super
throws. Huh?
Super catches by champions. Super flights by another.
Let's hear it from Meatloaf!
Ha ha ha!
I will do anything for Coke.
Oh, I know everyone on social media is going crazy right now for the loaf. Anyway, don't forget to stick around for his in-depth interview with me later on in the show. Also coming up, I know you've been waiting on this. In honor of Fat Finger Friday, I will give you my top 10 NFC West left guards to come out of the WAC conference in the early 2000s. Trust me, there's some stars there. But right now, just for all you degenerate gamblers...
It's a money opportunity.
Oh, boy.
We haven't done this in so long.
Win, no matter what. If you're ready to win, it's time to call Johnny Cash.
Yes.
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 I love Johnny Cash.
Yeah, all I do is win, everybody. Hey, the Seahawks are in town to play the Vikings. Minnesota has 6 sacks the last week against the Jags. They just signed the star safety, George. That defense is tough. Having said that, I do love the oceans and things that fly. Give me the Seahawks +3.
Oh, makes sense.
That's why you type in all caps. Yeah. This doesn't happen.
Thought it was 3.5.
The Steelers will be hosting the Titans tomorrow. Pittsburgh is averaging over 350 yards per game during the preseason. The Titans can't stop a nosebleed. But I still don't know what the 3 diamond thing means on the Steelers' helmet. So give me Tennessee in the under. The Bengals will be traveling to Buffalo to play the Bills.
Maybe pay the Bills.
Josh Allen has looked great so far. He's thrown 2 touchdown passes, no interceptions. He looks like the real deal, everybody. However, my son Lucas ate Frosted Flakes this morning for breakfast. I think that's a sign. I like the Bengals plus 1.5.
All right. That's good.
That's all the time we have for tonight. A big thanks to everyone who tweeted using hashtag the John Ramos Show. Also, thanks to Meatloaf and his fat fingers for being tonight's special musical guest. Sorry, Meat. We'll have to get to you next time. And Robert, I'll catch you and I'll catch you again on your backside.
Yeah, ooh, interesting.
I love it.
Yes. Friday. Happy Friday, everybody.
When one of the things that I learned earlier in my broadcasting career is when you type in all caps, because sometimes when you have capitalized letters and lowercase letters, you don't know what's an I or an L. Just like when John faced the daunting task of pronouncing George Iloka's name, where he just left it as George because the I was capitalized and the N was lowercase. So I don't know if John thought it was George Loka or George Ioka. He just went option C and didn't say it.
Yeah. Dan always told me that. By the way, the hashtag, John.
The John Ramos Show.
Dan always told me that, like doing updates, because he was really good at them, and I was average to below average at best, that, listen, you got to write this stuff down because you never know. You can't trust the computers here. And I'm thinking, I don't even worry about it, Dan. So it's all capitals, just like Dan said. And then this one time I was like, nah, I got this. And then the screen refreshed in the middle of the update. And I started with with a 3-shot lead. It's John Daly. Daly with the lead.
Oh, man. Hey, as Meatloaf would say, today's show, 2 out of 3 ain't bad. So 2 out of the 3 segments weren't bad.
Thank you.
That was really good, John.
Thank you. Yes. Happy Friday, everybody.
Happy Friday, John. Yes. Happy Friday. Hey, hurricane, go that way. We just keep on going.
Stop right there!
By the way, can we talk
about this? Meatloaf. Come on, John.
Can we talk about the scam the Weather Channel just tried to pull? Dan and I noticed it during one of the breaks. The Weather Channel has Jim Cantore out there at Waikiki Beach. And Jim Cantore happens to be standing in front of a tree branch that's fallen on the ground. And you think, man, that's awful. Yet Jim Cantore is wearing a T-shirt, a hat that's not being blown off his head, and he's wearing pants, thank God. And then behind him, you've got a bunch of little kids in the water.
There's sandcastles, like, there's buckets everywhere.
They made it seem like it's the scene out of Jaws, where everybody's running on the shore because some kid got bit in half. Like, what are we talking about here? Is this a hurricane or not a hurricane?
Man. Hey, the Weather Channel, why not spice it up for a little bit more drama?
Yeah,
right?
I would. All right. By the way, if you would like to provide John Ramos with some show content ideas or some feedback as to what you thought of today's John Ramos Show, just tweet him at JSRamos06. And what's the hashtag again, John Ramos?
The John Ramos Show.